I don't know about you, but I can still remember being at home sick as a child. When I was sick, it was always mom who brought the healing. Always mom. She knew things, and you don't know how she knew it. Just by touching your head, she could tell you had a temperature. You said, no, I'm not sick. I want to go out. Nope, nope, you're hot. You're sick. She could tell by just looking at you, the color of your skin, if you were nauseous or feeble in your body. She knew where you got sick from, even when you didn't know. I told you, you were playing outside in the rain yesterday, and I knew you were going to get sick. I was like, what? How did you know that when you're a child? She knew what to do to help you get better. She knew what medicines to take, how long you needed to sleep, how to clean and bandage your scrapes and cuts. She knew when to feed you for more strength and when not to feed you and keep you resting. She knew whenever you asked the question, Mom, am I going to die? She knew whether or not you were going to die. And most of the time it was, no, you're not going to die. Right? I asked that a few times. Anybody? Anybody get that question or ask that? Okay. She did know when to escalate the situation and call a doctor. In short, mom knew how to make you well. As important as the physical wellness or the physical healing that comes through the hand of mom, mom also knew how to make you whole or complete, to touch your heart when you were physically sick. Your mother might do special things to comfort you. And I'm sure every family was a little bit different, but my mother would make us a bed on the couch. That was always step one. You're feeling sick. You're going to have to stay home from school today. No, I'm going to miss this or that. Or they're giving out candy today. It's pizza party day. I'm sorry, you're going to have to stay home. I tell you what, to make you feel better, I'm going to make you a bed on the couch. I don't know how that worked, but it was like, whoa, I'm getting a bed on the couch out in the middle of everything. She would turn the cartoons on. I think when I was little, at first it was just to keep an eye on us while she was still doing her daily chores. But later on, as I got older, man, we milked that bed on the couch. Mom, could you bring me, Mom, could you flip the channel? Mom, could you, right? And mom would be there comforting you. She would make that chicken noodle soup and that toast or grilled cheese sandwich, and you just knew that somehow chicken noodle soup was going to heal you up. She would give you that extra loving touch, that extra calming motherly voice, that extra care all throughout the day. Somehow, realizing that you were sick in body ultimately meant you were going to feel good in your soul throughout the day. How many of you can say amen for moms? Somehow. Why? Because mom was a healer. And her physical actions to heal our bodies were always connected to her goodness and her care for you, the individual, the child. And you knew that deep down inside your heart. It's why kids love to go get Band-Aids when they don't need Band-Aids. They're really asking for mom's loving touch. Could it be that this in some way, some limited way, reflects the God who brings healing into the world? Could it be that God's sustaining, healing, physical work, which our very lives and bodies depend on, are really meant to point us and draw us into His goodness, His love, and His care, not only physically, but deep down into our souls? Could it be that the reward of our physical suffering is a better relational connection and fulfillment and joy when we love to trust our Father's love and His ways with us? You see, our God is a healer. And the scriptures teach us about his physical care and his physical healing of this broken world. And when the scriptures teach us about what he does in the physical world, they are meant to encourage us into something even deeper, to knowing personally the God who brings his soothing, his comfort, his peace, his kindness, his patience, and his care with him into our lives and into our souls. It's not only that he sustains and touches our bodies, but he makes us well or whole when we know him as his children. Amen? So I want to preach to you just a one-point sermon today. We're going to have four scriptures because I want you to see the theme well established in the scriptures. And that's this, that physical healing points us to relational healing with God himself. Physical healing, when God touches the world, it's designed to encourage the hearts of the world to know that God wants to comfort us and touch our souls and bring us in right, whole relationship with him. And we see this throughout the scriptures. So I want to go to three Old Testament scriptures first. And since we've been baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I want you to see, even in the Old Testament, how the Godhead is involved in healing the world. Exodus 15 and verse 22 is your first background text. It's telling the story of Moses and the children of Israel who are traveling and learning to depend on God. And it says, and they went to the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. In other words, for the sake of the storytelling, it's not just that it tasted bitter. They knew there was a sickness in the water. It was undrinkable. The water was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? How are we going to survive out here? What are we going to do?" And Moses cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. How many of you know the focus of the story is not on the log? The focus is not on the mechanism for healing. The focus of the story is on a crying out to God and a Lord touching and working in the situation. Working in the situation. Let's keep reading. Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. He tested them. He's testing their trust, their dependence, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." This is where we get one of the famous nicknames for God himself, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord heals, the Lord your healer. And here God announces that something true to himself, true to his character, true to who he is, you can call me this, you can know me like this, I am your healer. And in this story, God physically heals the waters from their bitterness, this physical act, so that the waters become drinkable and sweet. It's a vivid example of how God is able to both heal and provide for our needs. The Lord then issues a ruling. What kind of ruling? What was the Lord seeking to do? Why is he giving a command right in this moment? Because the healing is meant to drive their relational trust in him forward. So he seizes upon the moment and says, yes, here's what I can do for you. I can provide physically in your world. You're worried about the physical, but I want you to trust me. Trust my words. Obey my commandments. Listen to me and know me, and I am your healer. We know that this is a relational passage, that it's beyond physical, because listen, the promise in the passage, listen carefully, the promise is not that they would never get sick again. This passage is often misread that way. That's not what he promises them. Listen carefully. The promise is not that if they do get sick, they would always be miraculously healed. That's not what God says in the passage. The promise is this, that through their trust in Yahweh, the healer, they could trust in him to protect them from the same judgment that came against the Egyptians. He says, if you obey my commandments and follow me and learn to listen to my voice, then I will not put on you what I put on the Egyptians. What did he put on the Egyptians? 10 plagues, where all of creation itself was sick and groaning and moaning to be made right. The whole world is disordered and chaotic. There's no peace when plague after plague after plague. God is punishing the Egyptians because they will not listen to his voice. And God says, I'll be your healer and your relationship with me as you learn to trust me. I will never put on to you what I did to them. The healing passage, one of the most famous ones in the Old Testament, is driving beyond the physical to our trust and relationship with God, who, if he can heal the physical, then I ought to trust him with my heart, my soul, my comfort, my peace, my hope. I ought to learn to listen to his voice and know him and serve him as his child, because he brings me wholeness and well-being in my heart. This was true about God, but Israel would keep struggling with sin. And so God tells them the same would also be true for Israel's Messiah, Israel's Savior. Though they continue to sin, Yahweh would promise to be their healer by providing a Savior who once and for all would represent all the people's sins before God. So we go to our second passage today. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. The prophet Isaiah is preaching about Israel's sin. And because they're not trusting in God, they are facing God's judgment. But there is hope. There is hope for those who turn away from God, because a Savior was going to come into the world. Isaiah 53 describes this Savior. He says, the prophet says, surely he, the Savior, has borne, what did he carry? He carried our griefs and carried our sorrows. Griefs and sorrows, what are those that we need healing from in grief and sorrow? Those are heart issues, aren't they? Those are inside issues, aren't they? The Savior carries our heart issues, yet we esteemed him not. The world was going to reject him. Why? Because he was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Why did God smite this Savior? The prophet tells us in verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed physically for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, right? Listen, I'm not going to put on you what I put on the Egyptians if you trust me. And if we keep failing and struggling, guess what? We have a Savior, and God is going to put on him the punishment that we deserve. And he's going to be our substitute to bring us in to right relationship and peace and wholeness with God. It was upon him, and it brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. Somebody say amen. This scripture also tells us that we can come to the Savior with our heart issues, our griefs, and our sorrows. Because he was punished physically in his body for us, we can come to him with our sinful spiritual issues, our transgressions, and our iniquities. Because he took our punishment of sin, we can have peace with God and be healed in our relationship with him. Now, I will pray this verse for people in their healing. In the hospitals, I love to claim the power of this verse when I say, by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we can trust him physically for our needs and our provision in this world because of what he did. But I want you to know that prayer for physical healing is one slice of a bigger, broader scope of the God who makes all things new and is healing the world through Jesus Christ. The prayer for physical healing is the residual effect and hope and promise that we have because the servant has come and given his life for the world. And I want you to see again this dominant driving force that knowing God is our healer is also being healed in our hearts for right relationship with him. God the Father is involved. God the Son is involved. What about God the Holy Spirit? At Destination Church, I have done dozens of hospital visits. I mean, I might be getting into the hundreds, 150s, 200s hospital visits over the last 15 years. And always a slice of those hospital visits are heart-related issues, right? There's lots of heart issues as people are aging and their genetics are kicking in and health is happening and poor health is happening sometimes and sometimes things can't be helped at all and heart things are happening. People might need catheters, heart caths. They might need scans. They might need, I'm going to say it wrong, but they might be in weird fibrillations of their heart. They have arrhythmia of some sort, and they've got to sort of reset that heart and get it beating in the correct amount of time and the correct amount of timing with the rest of their body. Those are pretty common. Actually, the rarest heart visit I've made is open heart surgery. And it is always, always one of the worst moments. And I go in, and it's probably just a handful of times. I can only think of two from memory. There might be three or four, but less than a handful, I've gone into the hospital and somebody has just had open heart surgery. And I have to really put on my game face. Because what they're about to describe to me is excruciating. The pain that they feel, and you can see them feeling it, jumps over to me and gives me the shivers. Like, it is awful. And when they're in so much pain, there's not a lot to talk about. They're not going to talk about, well, man, the flowers are out this week, Pastor, and we got some rain. We needed a rain. No, there is just this, Pastor, you don't know what this is like. And I will say, well, man, what did they do to you? And, man, they will just share with tears in their eyes the steps. First of all, they had to cut my sternum. Then they pull my rib cage apart. Then they get in there and they start messing with my heart and my organs. Then they put my rib cage back together. And then it's the first day, Pastor, they make me get up and start walking around. After all that, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemies, right? Just terrible. And I have to keep my game face on because I'm thinking, oh, man, this is giving, you're giving me the willies here because You're in so much pain yourself, right? You ever get squeamish at the sight of blood, right? Well, just hearing the pain gives you a little squeamishness. You're weak, Pastor Chad. I know I am. I pray God gives me strength on those visits, and he does. Guess what? Because God is our healer, because Jesus, the Son, pays the sacrificial price for our healing, when you put your life in their hands, you are committing yourself to open heart surgery, because there's one more person on the healing team, and the Holy Spirit does open heart surgery on us. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Look at how physical healing is applied to the spiritual, pointing us and driving us. The prophet says about the work of the Spirit and the work of salvation. Here's what you should expect. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Holy Spirit in you and will move that heart of flesh to do what? To do what I wanted my children to do since I told them I am Yahweh, their healer, to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Yes, the obedience is important, but God wants our hearts. And so he does open heart surgery and he touches us spiritually and he zaps that heart with the powerful electric work of the Holy Spirit to help it beat again and to come alive to live for him. Somebody say amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, you need to remember that the Holy Spirit is involved in the healing process. He is known as our counselor, our advocate. He is the deposit in our hearts, guaranteeing our place in heaven. He empowers the church for ministry. He transforms the human heart for Christlikeness. Once again, a physical example, this time with the work of the Spirit, pointing us and driving us to relational, spiritual healing. You say, okay, Pastor, well, that's all well and good, but all that Old Testament stuff, what about us in the church? What about my discipleship? What about my physical needs right now? What about my wholeness right now, my wellness? These verses go good long ago for the Old Testament. I like them, but I really just like the stories of Jesus, and I just want that friend. I wish I could just come in and say, hey, I've got this thing in my body. Jesus, just walk with me. Just heal me, zap me quick, and I'll be on my way. Is the same true for the stories of Jesus? That wellness with God is what physical healing is driving us to. The same is true. I close with this verse and parable. Luke 17 and verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. They stood at a distance because of their uncleanness, disease. And they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Remember when Moses cried out, Lord, heal this bitter water, this situation. Give us our survival. Give us a way forward. You hear that cry being echoed in the cries of people. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Will they trust his word? And as they went, they were healed and cleansed at his word. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed physically, he turned back around, praising God with a loud voice. The others are going on their own way. But he came back, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Jesus thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. That's a surprise. The others, if they were Israelites, they should have known better. He was an outsider. Verse 17, then Jesus answered, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Verse 18, was no one found to return along with you and give praise to God except this foreigner? He's asking his disciples, where's the praise to God? Where's the returning to follow? And he said to him, the leper, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And I looked it up because I wanted to be sure I was correct. But you could translate it, your faith has saved you. In the mind of Jesus in this story, the others have been physically healed. They've had a moment of tasting, just knowing just briefly the power of God in their life, but they have not turned around to follow and commit their praise and thanks to Jesus. And so only one does Jesus say, you've received the touch of salvation. You've received your wellness and your wholeness by your faith in me. All 10 were healed, but only one understood who the healing was pointing to and what the healing required in response. All 10 were healed, but only one was saved. All 10 were healed, but only one was truly made well in the presence of God the healer. Amen.
For watching our video. If you liked it, share it with a friend and subscribe to our channel. We go live every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also support us by clicking the Give button. This allows us to continue to impact our community as well as help missions across the globe with the love of Jesus Christ. Thanks again for watching.